listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Lee Ellis of The Athletic joins us. NBA preview, two games tonight. How are you, Lee? Thanks for joining us as always.
Great, Tony. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back. Another season about to get underway.
Well, you know, Ron and I were just talking about this. We were like, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were playing basketball in the NBA, and it's a quick turnaround, obviously, to get back on schedule. Do you think it's going to take a while for the sea legs to sort of get back for these guys?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, it feels like it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like things are sort of a little bit more what we are used to expecting coming into an NBA season. And I think that, you know, obviously for the Bucks and the Suns, they played right up until the end there. But for everybody else, you know, teams like the Lakers, I think they're probably keen to get right back at it and to get started again, because for a lot of teams, the season didn't end all that well. And I think even a team like Brooklyn, I mean, they're sort of going through a bit of internal chaos at the moment. But considering how their season ended, you know, they went to seven games, of course, with the Bucks, but had some injuries. I think there's that revenge and that motivation factor to get back at it. So I think teams are probably ready this year, feeling that it's probably open as well, the season, I think, this year. I think there's, you know, you can make a legit case for probably five or six teams to become out of this one as the champs, and I think that's great for the NBA.
Let's go to Brooklyn, and if this Kyrie Irving situation does not, if he does not get vaccinated and he can't play in Brooklyn or when they play the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, the Nets have already said they won't use him as a part-time player. Do you think they'll stand with that? Is it possible? How hard would it be to have a guy that's only on the road, only participating on the road? Is that just too much trouble for Brooklyn right now?
Yeah, I mean, they've said that he won't be playing at all, and I think that's the right approach, because I think they just need to move ahead with that certainty of knowing that he's not going to be with the team until he does get that vaccination. And, you know, Kyrie's kind of stuck to his guns right now and said he's not going to do it. But I think, especially tonight, once the season tips off and he sees his teammates out there and he realises how easy it is to rectify this situation, get the vaccination, and then he's back on the team as soon as he can get onto the court. So it's very, very easy to fix. There's no question that's all it takes for him to be sort of accepted back into the franchise. But I also feel that, you know, Joseph Tsai, the owner there, and Sean Marks really felt that if Kyrie was only going to be there when it sort of was on the road, that just doesn't help the team, especially when you're like a coach like Steve Nash. You know that at any point during the season, you're going to have guys miss time through injuries and whatever. So you need to know that you have all those guys healthy and available as often as you can, because that helps you build that chemistry and build that continuity with your team, and it just sort of establishes the identity that the team tries to build towards as the season builds on and, you know, as you get to the playoffs. That's what I think a lot of teams realize, is that, you know, the championship isn't won in June. It's won now as the team sort of grows together and evolves together and they build up towards it. And I think that's the thing with the Nets. They're like, listen, if Kyrie wants to say, I'm not getting vaccinated, and he chooses to sit out the entire season, that's his decision, sure. But the Nets have to realize that they have to move forward without him. And I think when you've got two of the top five, 10 players, whatever you want to call Kevin and James Harden there, there's still a legit chance to win the championship even without him. So I think if you're Brooklyn, you just have to move ahead and let Kyrie decide what he's going to do. And if he chooses to join the team, get vaccinated, and then bang, he's on the bus and he'll be there the next day.
All right, let's go to the Lakers, because Russell Westbrook is now on that team. And your thoughts on, does LeBron James, who is very intelligent on players, he knows who he's getting, he knows their style, he knows what they bring, does he have to change anything that he does to accommodate what Russell Westbrook does the best?
Yeah, you make a good point there, because LeBron knows that Westbrook is probably not going to change. I mean, he's that guy who plays 100 miles an hour. And I respect everything about the way Russell Westbrook approaches the game. He is a competitor. He doesn't want to give up at any time during the game. Now, that has also probably been a bit of his weakness at times, where he hasn't been able to adapt and adjust his game in the playoffs. But now he gets a situation where he is playing with, you know, the second greatest or the greatest player of all time. And LeBron might just maneuver things around to say, listen, Russell at his best is him charging down the lane, you know, going from end to end, grabbing those rebounds and igniting the offense. He's not a shooter. He's not a spot-up shooter. He's never going to be. That's just not his game. So there's no point in trying to force Russell Westbrook to do that. So, yeah, I am kind of fascinated to see how it works because, to be honest with you, I don't think it will. I just think that the Lakers have too many of the sort of wrong pieces around LeBron. I think they were silly to give up Kuzma and KCP because those guys clearly understood their roles as role players. And you get a guy like Westbrook who does bring that potential and that upside. But I also just feel that what we've seen, especially since Kevin Durant left OKC there with Westbrook, he plays his own way, his own style, and he really does refuse to change it, even though he hasn't had a lot of success, certainly in the playoffs with that. So it's fascinating, though, but he's in LA, he's back home. You know, it's a big splashy name that the Lakers added in the offseason. But we know that that doesn't automatically mean it's going to turn into success on the court. So, you know, the Lakers, their season as well ended very short last season, you know, losing to the Phoenix Suns. Injuries played a factor, of course, but LeBron getting up there now, he's going to be 37 in a month or two here. He knows that as great as he's been and as incredible as he has been throughout his career, you know, he is closer to the end. And we sometimes sort of, you know, think that he can just keep on playing at the high level that he's been at the last few years. But, you know, at some point he has to drop off, doesn't he? I mean, surely yeah, at some sure. point he has to. But they're still good. They're still one of the better teams, though, as long as he and Anthony Davis are on the floor.
All right, so handicap me the West, because there's two sides of what I see in the West, right? I see teams that have been always around in the finals, Golden State, the Lakers, right, trying to hang on. And then there's these teams like the Jazz and Phoenix last year and Dallas with Luka that are just percolating, Denver percolating towards the top. How do you see this West? Are the old guards still got it, or are these upstart teams that have found things that work for them still going to be in control?
Yeah, well, this goes back to my earlier point where I definitely think there are four or five teams in the West who, if things break right, are a legit chance to make the finals at least. Because if this time last season we had said the Phoenix Suns are going to make the finals, you would have been, you know, laughed off the page because sure. simply the Suns hadn't even made the playoffs in the Devin Booker era. So it's unlikely that a team goes all the way to the finals. So with that in mind, you know, I think you can make a legit case. Obviously, the Jazz. I think the Jazz probably actually finished with the best record because they're a fantastic regular season team. They play at both ends. They've got the defense, the continuity there. So I can see the Jazz being the number one seed in the West, but that obviously doesn't mean they're necessarily the team to go on to make the finals. I think if Jamal Murray can come back and his status is still to be determined there, I think the Nuggets are a real chance because Michael Porter Jr., his growth on the offensive end is really, really helping that team. And I just think that this team, with the MVP, of course, of Jokic there, is ready to sort of get over their own hump because they got swept by the Suns last season in the playoffs. And, of course, prior to that, though, when they did have Jamal Murray in the bubble there, they took the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals. So I think the Nuggets are very close. And then you've got a team like the Clippers who, without Kawhi Leonard, certainly for the start of this season and probably most of it, but if you look at what the Clippers did in the playoffs last season when Kawhi went down, you know, they came back and beat the Utah Jazz, who were the favorite, and then they actually took the Suns to six games as well. So I think the Clippers are in a pretty good spot right now. Kawhi did re-sign, so that's the uncertainty of him going forward is off the table. But Paul George, this could be his MVP season as well. He was brilliant. He's taken a lot of heat in the playoffs the last few years, but he was really good for the Clippers. I think Ty Lue's a great coach for that team. So I can see the Clippers being almost overlooked a little bit, which is probably perfect for them because, you know, we know that the Clippers are a bit of a tarnished franchise in terms of, you know, what happens to them in the playoffs. But it was almost like last season, they got it together. Unfortunately, Kawhi comes up short with the injury, but I think that's actually not a bad team there. So you've got those teams. And then the Dallas Mavericks, Doncic, I think he is the favorite to win MVP as far as Vegas odds right now. And there's no question he's going to have a huge season. But it really comes down for me to what is Porzingis? Is he a legit franchise star? Or is he just more a sort of glorified role player? He was not good for them in the playoffs last season against the Clippers. Really struggled to score. And when he wasn't scoring, really didn't do much else. And the Mavericks know. I think this is one of those seasons. This is like a do or die season for Porzingis. You can make the case, you know, he was coming off an injury and he wasn't necessarily at his best. But that excuse is not there anymore. He's had a full off season to work on his game. There's a new coach. the Mavericks know that if he is going to be the sort of Scottie Pippen there to Luka Doncic's Michael Jordan, he has to show it this season. And if he can, then the Mavericks are a chance. But, of course, we've seen him as well just struggle in the playoffs. So, you know, a lot of interesting throw-ins. And then that's even not even considering the Phoenix Suns, who did make it last season to the finals. They've brought everybody back. Now, they didn't agree a contract extension with DeAndre Ayton, bit of a surprise, but also not a catastrophe because he's going to be kept under contract here and he only enters restricted free agency next season. So the Suns still hold the power there with DeAndre Ayton. And I think if you're Ayton and you're his agent, you're saying to him, listen, you go out there and make the Suns understand that there's no question they have to offer you the max next season. And if that's the case, then the Suns are also a real chance to get back to the final. So I'm really excited. I mean, it's always like that at the start of the season. You know, everyone's got a case. Everyone's 0-0. But those things I just rattled off there too, I do think that all of them have a legit stake right now if things go their way to be the best team in the West.
All right, I'll get you out with this question. And I can't do a preview without discussing this other drama, Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. What is going on? Like, what? How will this affect the team? I love Daryl Morey saying, look, you're not going anywhere just to go somewhere. I'm not going to just trade you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how much of a problem could this be for the Sixers?
Well, it really is depending on how much Ben Simmons wants to make it a problem, because he's just not – he's a very good player, very good two-way player. You know, we know he's got that, obviously, that shooting deficiency, no question about that. But other than that, he does a lot for his team. But he doesn't quite have that equity yet where he can act like he has acted in the summer, where he's not talking to anyone, he demands a trade, not showing up to practice. And then I think he realized, like, well, the Sixers are not going to trade him until he gets out on the court and plays and shows other teams that he has got that value worth trading for. Because I believe, and this is totally speculative on my behalf, but I think that the other teams who were going to offer trades for Ben Simmons were simply offering that sort of second level, second tier guys. No one was offering that big. Like, the Blazers certainly weren't offering Damian Lillard for Ben Simmons. And if you're Daryl Morey, he's got 4 years left on his deal. He's 25 years old, a two-way player. You're not giving up pennies on the dollar just yet for that guy. So I think the Sixers have said to him and his management, you get on the floor and you play well, and if we get a good trade, we'll make the trade. Otherwise, you're going to have to play for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think that's the right approach. I really do. I think that, as I say, Ben Simmons has got to show that he's improved his game, and we'll see whether or not he plays this week. I'm not sure. They've got a huge game, their home opener against Brooklyn on Friday night. His status is in doubt at the moment, but at some point he has to get out on the court, and we really will see if he has improved his game in the summer like he told us he was doing, and the videos we all saw of him not missing a shot. So, oh, man, that's great, isn't it? The craziness, the chaos, that's what we all love about this. It's just crazy how it all just, you know, it's all back, and we're all ready to go again.
Good to hear your voice again, my friend. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks, man.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic, host of the No Dunks podcast, also on the NBA. Always like talking to Lee. Good insight. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.